comments or questions.
So today is the 8th, is it the 8th? It's the 8th of January. Oh, today is the 7th, no? Oh, 7th of January. Yeah. 2018. So, it is our first lesson for the year 2018. And today, we will continue from where we stopped last year. We are now at lesson 65, 6 Patriarch, Black Form Sutra, Sunday. And Wu Bing Jing Sa. So let us now gather our mind, compose the mind, develop the faith, Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang sakkhabdiyami. Anina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Japa. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. สังหังพุเจมิโอเค you all can be seated before we commence the official lesson 65 we will go through the verse for opening a sutta the page before page 1 verse for opening a sutta the unsurpassed profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons I now see and hear it receive and uphold it And I vow to phantom the Tathagata's true meaning. Yeah. Then we will turn to the, I think it's page 300 something. We are on a new chapter. Yes, 316. We are at 316 already. This one, the Mandarin word, MB, you got a Mandarin version? The name of the monk. Xuan Qiao, or what? Xuan Qiao, or Xuan Qiao. No. Qiao, the English word is Qiao. Oh, Yuan Jia. After chapter 7, should be chapter 8, or chapter 7 towards the later part. After Hui Jiang. We have finished Hui Jiang. Is it done? Because I fall at the page 316. Means I must have covered it. Maybe we stop too long. We also forgot. 312. 312. We haven't covered 312. Then what is the name of this monk? Dayan Master? Huai Rang. I think we have covered. This name appear familiar. Huai Rang, I think we have covered. I think we have covered. Zutao earlier on. Xing Si also covered. Huai Rang not yet. Okay, then maybe we go through Huai Rang. Okay, sorry. Turn to page 312. Is it correct? The English translation is 312, page 312. Okay, Dayan Master Huai Rang. Why they put here Jiang? The English word is different. Maybe pronunciation is okay. Dayan Master Huai Rang. Okay, we read this sutta. Dayan Master Huai Rang was the son of the two family in Jingzhou. He first visited National Master Ang of Song Mountain, who told him to go to Shaoshi to pay homage. When he arrived, he bowed and the master asked him, "What has come?" I think this one we covered already. I can recall. The master said, Oh, sorry, he replied, Song San. The master said, what thing is it, and how does it come? He replied, to say that it is like a thing is to miss the point. This one I remember we covered. Never mind, we just read through quickly. The master said, then can there still be that which cultivated and certified? So this is what the master Hui Ning counted this Huai Rang. He replied, cultivation and certification are not absent, but there can be no defilement. So this monk, he thought he very wise, he thought he enlightened. Then the master said, it's just the lack of defilement of which all Buddhas are mindful and protective. You are like that, and I am like that too. In the West, Prajnatara predicted that accord. This one I definitely remember we have covered. A cord would run from under your feet, trampling and killing people under heaven. You should keep that in mind, but do not speak of it too soon. So that was the advice by Hui Ning. Huai Rang suddenly understood. Accordingly, he waited upon the master for 15 years. Daily penetrating more deeply into the profound and mysterious. He later went to Nan Yao, where he spread the Dayan school, the title Dayan Master Da Hui was bestowed upon him posthumously. So that was the sutta part. We go to the commentary, then you can understand better. Commentary by Xuan Hua. Huai Rang received the Dhamma transmission from the great master and became the seventh patriarch. Huai means to cherish. What did he cherish? Rang, which means to yield. Now I know what that word is. To give way. Rang, Rang Pu. Is it the Rang? He was never arrogant towards anyone, but kept his mind humble and modest, respecting everyone above and below him. In his mind, he always cherished politeness. So as a cultivator, you can have this type of mind, this type of understanding. You are beautiful. What this Daya master had, he appeared to be without. What was real appeared false. Although he had the way, it seems as though he didn't. He was actually highly educated, but if anyone brought it up, he politely insisted that he was really just a beginner, means he is very humble. He first went to study Buddha Dhamma with National Master An. National Master An sent him to study at Shaoshi. Yeah, at that time, everybody knew that Shaoshi was the place for the true orthodox Buddha Dhamma. If you really want to study and cultivate faith in the Buddha Dhamma, you go to Shaoshi. Now in America, if you really want to study the Buddha Dhamma, you should come and study the sutta here. Don't fear difficulty, don't fear suffering, don't be lazy, study the Buddha Dhamma. At that time, Nan Hua Temple, the site of the platform of the six patriarch, there was Dayan meditation and walk on the mountain slope every day. Everyone got up at 3:30 in the morning. At 4 o'clock, they went for morning recitation, which was very vigorous, and lasted until 5:30. Then they sat in meditation until sunrise. After they had eaten some rice gruel, there was another hour of meditation. At 8 o'clock, they went out on the mountain slope for 2 hours until 10 o'clock. Because there was about 2,000 people, in 2 hours they were able to do a lot of work. It was not like one or two person doing the work and not being able to finish it. At 10, they returned from the slope and rested until 11. At which time they ate, then from 12 to 2, they sat in meditation. And at 2, they went back out on the mountain slope to work for 2 more hours. Then they returned and sat in meditation for 6 hours until 10 p.m. Afterwards, some did their own work, bow in homage to the sutta, or perform repentance ceremony until midnight. Every day it was this way. So you look at the schedule, is it tough or not? What time did they wake up? 3:30 they have to be up. Then all the way until midnight. Of course midnight is optional. 10 p.m. is fixed already. Then 10 to 12 up to you, which means they sleep less than 3 hours or so. So that was the vigorous training. Then the other one is the wind of the way blew severely at Nanhua Temple. Everyone had to follow the rules. There were several thousand people, and you never heard a person speak. No one spoke because they feared that they might strike out false thinking and then their work would not succeed. If you single-mindedly apply effort, you never pursue any train of random thought whatsoever. The sixth page here therefore established book in common, which was very rigorous. So, based on the schedule that were given, it was a combination of meditation and work. Which means when you are doing your work, you need to establish mindfulness, heedfulness. That's what the training is all about. When Dayan Master Huirang arrived at Nanhua Temple, he bowed and the master said, "Who has come?" So this one you have to listen. This is Zen. In the Zen school, one never speaks of the principle outright. He merely said, "Who has come?" Ostensibly, it was a bhikkhu. But he said, "Who comes?" At least he didn't ask if it was a ghost. That was Chen Hua's joke. Then Huirang replied, "Song San." He meant he came from Song San Mountain, Song Mountain. Song is the name of the mountain, San is mountain, Song San. The two were using the language of the Zen school, Ripate. Cultivation and certification are not absent, but there can be no defilement. Cultivation has that which is cultivated, and certification has that which is certified. Therefore, cultivation and certification are not non-existent. So cultivation and certification can exist, but defilement cannot. That is, you cannot be stained. The self-nature must be bright and light. What do you think when this Huizhang reply this way, or speak it up this way? He is still a bit like Shen Xiu, isn't it? Yeah, he is still very concerned about defilement. So is it? So cultivation and certification can exist, but defilement cannot. Just like Shen Xiu, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. So he said, if you do that, you cannot be stained. You know where he went wrong or not? Where did he go wrong? Is it about defilement that you are concerned with in cultivation. Yeah? We write this word now, huh? Defilement. What is defilement? Huh? Defilement means your negativity and evil root, huh? Means your negativity and evil roots. I ask you a question. When you cultivate, are you concerned about defilement? Eh? Initially, of course, you have to be concerned in that. Like the Buddha said, these are the three evil roots, root of all evil. So you have to avoid all evil. But when it comes to cultivation, a lot of people got it wrong. That's why this monk also no exception. You start with defilement, because phase one of the teaching is pariyatti. You have to learn the teaching. What constitutes evil roots? Defilement. What constitutes non-defilement? Wholesome state of mind. Then only you can put it into practice. That's why you arise the four right effort. To abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, born of the defilement. Those that has arisen, you arise right effort to abandon them. Then later on, when you have the understanding, you can prevent it from arising. That is understanding, true understanding. Yeah. Then later on, you don't have to do anything. It just cannot arise. Yeah. Then the second and third right effort is to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, virtue. The wholesomeness that are still not in you, you arise the right effort to develop them, to cultivate them. Then the last right effort is to refine upon them and to perfect all this virtue and goodness and wholesomeness. So defilement is needed at the initial stage to identify them, then to see that they are the source of all evil, root of all evil. Then if you do that, what happens is it will allow you to take care of your karma. Do you understand? So that you have better condition to cultivate. So that you have to you can go through life with less karmic obstruction, less problem. Then you can develop more conducive condition to cultivate. But as you cultivate, what happens? As you cultivate, your concern is no more defilement, because you will come to the understanding, why does defilement arise? Defilement arises because you lack what? Right view and wisdom. So defilement arise. Arise because you lack right view and wisdom. So your concern of cultivation is what? To straighten your view, isn't it? To develop the wisdom, is it? When these are existing within your nature, defilement cannot arise. So it's no more like sensitive, understand? Polish until it shines so that no dust can arise. So it means every time busy watching out for defilement means intolerance. You can't even tolerate the slightest defilement. You want to guard it. But the mind that is doing that is a thought, which is very stressful. Wisdom is not a thought. Wisdom is an understanding. The moment you understand, defilement cannot arise. That's it. Finish. So all our cultivation center on this understanding. Defilement arises because the cultivator lack right view or wisdom. So the real cultivation is to silence your mind, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to straighten your view, to develop the wisdom. Then defilement cease to be. Then you don't have to do like what this monk, Huairang. No need to do like what he did. Here he says, so cultivation and certification can exist, but defilement cannot. That's why he is very insistent. That is, you cannot be stained. Then do you know what he say? The self nature must be what? Read from the book. The self nature must be what? Page 315 on top, third line. Why must you go and say that? Because that self nature is without word. It's already that nature, understand now. You don't have to keep it, understand now. It was there before you. It was the unborn, that true mind, that true nature. So you don't have to describe it. The self nature must be bright and clear or light. There is no such cultivation. It was already like that. Because it was the unborn. So that is where he went wrong. So when Huairang said this, the master replied that there was no defilement, no field in the self nature. Now you understand. So why you go and keep want to polish yourself, understand, until it shine? Want to do away with defilement. Defilement came from where? Came from where? Just now I just gone through with you. Read the whiteboard. Came from where? Lack of right view and wisdom. When you don't have right view and wisdom, what do? You create? Not only thought. You create duality. Understand not? Which is from the thought. You create duality. You create duality via the thought. That's why Hui Ning, under his poem, say, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? So people who are trapped in duality, they will have this problem. So without wisdom, you create duality. So duality is your right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. That's where cultivator get into trouble. So when you cultivate, you don't go and do all this thought-based meditation, this foolish thing. Always remember, nothing free you except wisdom. Can you understand? Nothing free you. Get this understood. I have emphasized many times already. Nothing frees the mind except wisdom. When you understand this, what will you do? What will you do? Means your soul intent and purpose of meditation is just to develop wisdom, not go and look for energy field, understand? Good meditation. Try to avoid defilement. want to stop all the negativity of mind state means you are playing with your own shadow. You don't understand cultivation. If wisdom is the only thing that frees the mind, you have to awaken, develop the understanding of it and straighten your view, and not to be trapped by what people tell you and become gullible. That's why a lot of people, without this understanding, they lost focus. When they lost focus, what they do? They become gullible. They believe meditation is to seek all those fantastic experience, mind state, that to them is something people cannot achieve. Then when they can achieve, they think they are enlightened. But when you come out of society without wisdom, you go back to square one. Well, these are conditioned state, you understand? You can be very peaceful, very calm, very still, and all the nimitta, all the manifestation. You can see light during night. So what? You can't deal with life. You can't understand who you are, what you are. The five aggregate of form and mind. With wrong view, with delusion, you will still cling, grab, stir your mind, and develop all the affliction, the suffering, the misery. So the key to understanding meditation is you are supposed to develop understanding, wisdom, nothing else. So to have understanding and wisdom, what must you do? You must be mindful. You must observe and understand what happens. Means the truth, the reality. Not what your memory tell you. Not what your views and opinion condition you to believe and look after or chase after. All these are delusion created by the mundane mind. So the lack of understanding will create such problem for cultivator. And cultivator who don't have the ability to differentiate between the true mind and the mundane mind will fall into such trap. That's why the direct teaching take you direct to the true mind, the silent mind. Whereas the indirect teaching, everybody teach you to use the thought to meditate. Do you understand? That's the reason why a lot of people, they fail to understand. Then they divide the cultivation into two types. You know what are the two types of cultivation? They say, we are not like Hui Ning and Sana. We are not like the Buddha. The sudden way, we are slow one, more child one. They call it the gradual way. You believe such conclusion? There is, Hui Ning already explained, there is no such thing as gradual and sudden. All enlightenment is sudden. The moment you understand, you are free. Finish. The gradual way is, they say, I must cultivate. Then one day, I will become enlightened. Yeah. It's no different from somebody who used to say this in the early days. He said, mindfulness is like that. Because I think he must be an accountant. Huh? So pardon me if I say accountant. If you are accountant, don't get angry. You know what he said or not? He said, every moment we are mindful, we can accumulate this moment of mindfulness. He said, it's like a bank account. So if you practice enough of this mindfulness, one day you fulfill, you have enough moment of mindfulness, you become enlightened. Do you believe in such teaching or such comment or views? It's definitely not the case, isn't it? I give you a very simple example, you know. How does a primitive man make fire? He use a stick, isn't it? He will go and like turn the stick around, you call rub it, until it becomes hot enough. Then he put some dry leaf, then suddenly hot enough, it burn. But let's say you roll, stop, and accumulate all this rolling. You can roll for 10 million years. There is no fire. Because this one need to be sustained. Understand now? Mindfulness need to be sustained. Just like when you want to create the heat, you sustain it until the heat is hot enough to create the condition for the dry grass or whatever to catch a fire. So mindfulness is not just one moment. One moment. No, it's sustained. That's why the Buddha said, ever mindful. You have to develop the ability to be ever mindful, constantly meditating. And that is what heedfulness is all about. And then you will be destined for enlightenment. That's why the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the born-free Nibbana. This enlightenment in the here and the now is assured. And also the Buddha always remind the monk, he says, strive on with heedfulness. Those who are heedful, they will be destined for enlightenment. That's why he says, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So sustain mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right livelihood, right samadhi, and right sati. So Noble Eightfold Path is basically right view. When you have right view, all the path factor will fall into place. Right view will condition right thought will condition right speech and right action. Because your basis of action and speech is from your thought condition how you speak and how you act, and your view condition your thought. If your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. So the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path will fall apart if you don't have right view or right understanding, which is wisdom. So whole of cultivation stand on this very important understanding. You must develop wisdom, nothing else. The rest doesn't help you. Okay? So today I want to re-emphasize. I realized last time when I speak many times on this, yeah, nothing free you except wisdom, it doesn't seem to go in. No. Very fast you go back to your old way, your so-called conditioned thinking. No. Well, everybody also say, well, you go to retreat, you meditate, then suddenly you got this type of fantastic meditation. Wow, people equate that as enlightenment. But if you got your past life cultivation, your roots are there and your condition are there, then yes, that moment of cessation can be equivalent to enlightenment. But that moment of cessation is an awakening. It's an understanding, it's not a conditioned state. That's why it can happen. So don't be foolish. Whatever you experience due to conditioned state and doesn't give you wisdom, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? So this one is very useful. Okay, then we go on, we see what Hui Ning say. The sixth page we are... how come? Wrong page. okay. When Huairang said this, the sixth patriarch, the master, replied that there was no defilement, no filth in the self nature. So exactly like his poem, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? Dust is defilement. The defilement are self-seeking, means your jealousy, your self-seeking, your greed, your hatred, your delusion. Without this defilement, he said, you are, what is the word? Tas. Tas means your original nature, suchness, the tasness of thing. Just as what meaning is, I am. Is it? We two are the same, equal. But he qualified in front. No? He said, without defilement, we are equal. Is it? But it doesn't mean that you have to go and use your thought to force yourself not to have defilement. No. You can only have that state when you are with the wisdom awakened. That's why Hui Ning is very wise. Then the other part that you have to make it clear is the defilement are self-created. Understand or not? Through your delusion. Duality comes about because of your lack of understanding, your lack of right view and wisdom. When you create good, whatever that is the opposite, which is not good, will also arise. It's just like you say, this is right. Whatever that is of not this nature will be wrong. So the opposite immediately come about. So in cultivation is the same. How can you so gobbly go and create right meditation, wholesome state of mind and thought? The moment you create this, the other side manifests. Then based on what you create through the thought, do you know what human beings do or not? They try to do away with the negative duality. Because they come as a pair. When they come as a pair, how can you remove one side and expect the other side to stay on? There is no such thing, isn't it? Like Hui Ning come to realize, if I don't create good and bad, right and wrong, virtuous and defilement, I got no problem, isn't it? Thing is just the way it is. Depends on how you perceive it. If you have delusion, you will perceive with defilement, wrong view. But if you don't have delusion, all this don't exist. I don't have to do good, understand now? The wisdom that prevents you from doing wrong is the one that will free you. That's the reason why Krishnamurti and the Buddha speak the same. They teach the same. Krishnamurti used this word. The absence of evil is good. Means when you are incapable of evil, you are already naturally good. And I said, why do you want to be good? That one thing to be good, the trying to be good, is created by the thought. Good according to you. Your views and opinion tell you this is good. And this is a selfish good because it's good according to you. That's why the Buddha in his Dhammapada verse 183, the first stanza, Sabba papasa akaran. He used the word, no, sabbe, no, all evil has to be avoided. So when you can avoid all evil, means you are incapable of evil. Means you have wisdom. But when it comes to doing good, he never says, sabba kusalesa upasambada. He never used that word already. He just said kusala upasambada. Kusala is wholesomeness, goodness. So whatever goodness, when there is condition to do and arise, the nature will arise. It will not cling and want to do good. No. The absence of evil is always good. They are incapable of evil. That's it. Finish. So this teaching by Hui Ning is very beautiful. Then we go on. Then the 27th Indian patriarch, Prajnathara, the predecessor of Bodhidharma. This one is before Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma is the 28th from India. This one is before Bodhidharma. He said that a cord would run from under Huairang's feet. Who was the cord? It was Huairang's Dhamma successor, great master, how to pronounce this? Masua. Ma-chua what? Ma-chua. Correct or not? Horse patriarch. The Mandarin word is what? We are Liu-chu is the patriarch. Chu, isn't it? So it should be Ma-chu, isn't it? Tao-yi. So it was predicted. That's why Hui Ning knew that this guy, finally, he will teach, but he say, wait for your timing. Then he will have one disciple who will become very outstanding. Then he said, under your feet means that the court would be Huairang's disciple. Because a disciple behaves as if he were under his teacher's feet. In the future, Prajnathara had said, a cord will run out of your gate. trampling people all over the world. No other Dharma master will match his superb eloquence and vast wisdom. None will defeat him. Under heaven, he will reign supreme. Master Huirang became the sixth patriarch's personal assistant. Later, he went to Heng Mountain in Nanyao, which is in Hunan province in south central China, to propagate the Dayan school. After Huirang died, the emperor gave him the title Great Master Da Hui, means great wisdom. Hui is wisdom, Da Hui is great wisdom. So this is the chapter on Huirang. So this one we have covered, I remember. That's why I marked page 316. But it's good to go through as a revision. Okay, now we turn to the next page. Dayan Master, how to pronounce this? Xuan Qiao. Xuan Jue. Oh, Jue Wu the Jue. Yeah. Xuan Jue. Xuan Jue. Xuan Hua. Xuan Jue. Okay, Xuan Jue. Dayan Master Xuan Jue. The next chapter. Dayan Master Xuan Jue or Yuan. What? How to pronounce it? Yuan Jia. Yuan Jia, what? Was the son of a family called. Oh, Yong Jia. Yong Jia. Was the son of a family called. What? Tai Yi. Tai Yin. Tai Yin Wenzhou. Oh, in Wenzhou. Kotai in Wenzhou, is it? I know, Kotai in Wenzhou la. It's in la, that word is in la, not his name. Kotai in Wenzhou. When he was young, he studied the sutta and commentaries and was skilled in the Tian Tai, Dhammador. They call stop and look. Tian Tai, what? Zi? What is one? Oh, guan ah. Zi guan ah. Oh, okay. Zi is not look guan. Yeah, cessation is not stop ah. Ayo, that's why. Zi means cease, isn't it? Ah, this is not stop. Guan. It's not look. Yeah. Zi guan. Means sees everything. No thought. Understand? No? And the silent mind direct see. Cannot. This is wrong word. How can you stop? I stop now. I look. This is different from zi guan. No. You know, that word is sees all thinking. Understand? No? So this school of Mahayana is actually one of the very famous school too. They call it Tian Tai. Tian Tai. Tian Tai Zhong. Okay. Then after that, he said, upon reading the Vimalakirti Sutta, you remember this sutta or not? This is a very famous sutta now about a lay person. He like to come as a lay person. And this lay person is very well cultivated, very famous. That's why this Vimalakirti Sutta, if you have affinity, you should read it. He understood the mind ground, means he awakened to the true mind. One day he happened to meet the master's disciple, Xuan Zi. Xuan Che, Che. Xuan Che. Che, what is the meaning? What? Oh, I know. Very good at planning. So, like in this line, planner. So, okay. Xuan Che. And they had a pleasant talk. As What? I forgot it. 玄觉, oh yeah, yeah. 觉悟的觉. 玄觉's word were consonant with the words of all the patriarchs. That's why this guy also have his past, gifted. So, 玄策 asked him, kind sir, from whom did you obtain the Dhamma? Then this 玄觉 replied, he had heard the Vaipuya Sutta and Sutras of Kshatriyas, receiving each from a master. So these two sutta, Vipuya Sutta and the Vipuya Kshatriyas, receiving each from a master. Later, upon reading the Vimalakirti Sutta, he awakened to the doctrine of the Buddha mind. But as yet, no one has certified him. Xuanzi said, that was acceptable before the time of the Buddha, called the Awesome Voice King. But since the coming of the Buddha, all those who self-enlighten or awaken without a master belong to other religion, which hold to the tenet of spontaneity. Then will you please certify me, kind sir? Well, he asked that Xuanzi, Xuanzi said, my words are of little worth, but the great master, the sixth patriarch, is at Shaoxi, where people gather like clouds from the four directions. He is the one who has received the Dhamma. He wish to go, I will accompany you. So this is how the encounter come about. Then this Dayan Master, Xuanzi, he is already awakened actually from the past. But the funny thing is, people who already awakened, their nature will know. Actually, you don't need anybody to certify you. But certain sutta and certain commentary, the way they understand it is different. That's why they will put it in such a way. It's just like Hui Ning's case. You remember? Before he went and see the fifth patriarch, he got no teacher, he got no education, he was illiterate. But what was the condition behind? He just heard the stanza when the merchant chanted the Diamond Sutta. The moment he heard, the mind must have no dwelling, he awakened. And when he awakened, he can even tell the merchant, deep inside, it thoroughly understood what that thing is. Means they got no more doubt. Then he was very interested in this master who taught this teaching, because he believed the person who taught this must have a lot of understanding which he can develop and gain from. That's why he determined to go and see him. So all this, if you understand, they don't have doubt, they know. But they also knew that if they can meet up with somebody who can teach them deeper, let them understand deeply, there must be condition for such happening. That's why they always say, you need to, after that, visit all these famous teachers or monks. And these people interpret as for them to certify you. No, they don't need certification actually. But they want to have further understanding or further instruction and advice from these people. But these are the people who have cultivated. I won't say it could be higher or what. It's because like Hui Ning, the moment he connect, the moment he awaken, he is still like a very, very newborn form and mind with the understanding. It takes time for him to develop the stability and the inherit to inherit his spiritual nature, it takes time. If you can meet up with teacher who has gone through this way, who can guide you and instruct you, you will move very fast. Then you will understand all this very fast. It's just like this life, this nature of mind came. Since young, it has this inquiry mind. It has this condition ready. Then the moment it hear truth, the Four Noble Truth, straight away, no need to search. All search cease. It know this is the one. So what this nature need is just truth. Then later on, when the condition arrived, when the time to move in 1986, when Kuan Yin came, then everything just happened. The book came, the guide came, the teacher came, everything that need to come, it just come. Then it just receive. So all this is part and parcel of cultivator's nature. They will have the condition to come upon all these great beings. Then when they meet up, certain thing that is already within the past conditioning, they will manifest. Sometimes it could be that cultivator's vow or a prediction, like the Prajnatara, the one patriarch before Bodhidhamma. They already knew, because the conditioning is so strong, then they will have this understanding. Even the second patriarch, the third patriarch, they will know. They pass the message down and tell them, wait till the sixth patriarch. Then Mahayana will take off. The teaching will take off. So the fifth patriarch already very blessed, because when he took over, he has established the teaching. So during his time, it was already no more like before, when people were after all these patriarch, because they were jealous of this new teaching. And a lot of these patriarch, even Bodhidhamma, people tried to assassinate him, kill him. Then the second patriarch, third patriarch, fourth patriarch, all saved, all went through very difficult condition. And then only the fifth patriarch who was able to pull through and resolve all this so-called whatever misunderstanding with those various other type of sect or teaching. Then also maybe with the palace, when it was ultimately resolved, then when sixth feeling came, the teaching take off and it flourished in China until today. So this is how enlightened beings, when they come, they got no more doubt. So that word seeking certification is, according to my nature, is not the appropriate understanding. The appropriate understanding is they knew what happened. All these beings, they knew that they already different. But there is condition to meet up with all this. Then the condition will unfold and they will be there. Okay? So this is the continuation. So now we go into the commentaries, then you will understand better. I also haven't read the commentary. I also don't know what this commentary is going to say. But I can feel that this Xuan Jue. This monk is quite unique. You know why or not? Well, he read these two sutta. These two sutta are very unique sutta, especially Vimalakirti. The moment he read Vimalakirti sutta, he awakened to the mind ground. So this is somebody who has great parami from the past. The mind ground or the Buddha's mind means he awakened to the true mind. Okay, page 317, commentaries. Yuanjia. Is it Yuanjia? Yongjia, I always forgot. Yongjia is the name of a place. Place? Oh, not a family. Yongjia is the name of a place, okay. Because everybody greatly respected this Dhamma master, they address him after the name of his birthplace. Oh, no wonder. According to Chinese custom, when he was young, Yongjia investigated the Buddhist Sutra and the commentary written by patriarchs. When he read the Vimalakirti Sutta, he understood the Dhammadhamma of his own mind ground. One day he had a chat with the six patriarch disciples, Xuan Zhe, And Xuan Zhe found that their views were in agreement and that they both agree with the principle of the patriarchs. Supposing him to be a member of his own school, Xuan Zhe asked, "Who transmitted our Dhamma to you?" Great Master Xuan Jue, who certified you? When he learned that Xuan Jue had enlightened by himself, after reading the Vimalakirti Sutta, he said, "Before the time of awesome wise King Buddha, that would have been all right. But he was the first Buddha. And now, since his advent, anyone who claims to be enlightened without a master certification is simply not a Buddhist." Wow, they got this type of ruling. "Not a Buddhist? No, says Xuan Jue. "Then please certify me," he asked Xuan Zhe to certify him. He said, I don't know what certain people in America who certify themselves and then lecture on the Six Patriarch Sutta do when they come to this passage of text. How do they explain it? Awesome voice King Buddha's name means that the sound of his voice penetrates to the most remote places through the wind and light to the original ground. I cannot certify you, say Xuan Zhe, because I don't have the authority. Besides, it's not certain that I myself am enlightened. However, the sixth patriarch is at Nanhua Temple. The fifth patriarch has transmitted both the Dhamma and the Bohi Dhamma's rope and bow to him." So that was how he convinced this particular monk to see the six patriarch, and they went together. So the sutta continued. Thereupon, Xuan Jue went with Xuan Zhe to call upon the master. On arriving, he the master three times. Shook his staff and stood in front of him. What does it mean? Means they hold Hui Neng's staff. The stick. Why they go and shake it? Now I will read on. And stood in front of him. The master said, "Inasmuch as a samana has perfected the 3,000 awesome deportation and 80,000 fine particles, where does this virtuous one come from? And what makes him so arrogant?" Wow, this one also, Then Xuan Jue said, "The affair of birth and death is great and impermanent, comes quickly." The master said, "Why not embody non-production and understand that which is not quick?" He replied, "The body itself is not produced, and fundamentally there is no quickness." The master said, "So it is, so it is. So this type of dialogue, normal people cannot understand. Yeah, it's clothed with Dhamma understanding and words. We will read the commentary, then you will understand. When the two arrive at Tao Si, is it? Tao Si or Tao Si? Si, Sao Si, Xuan Jue march around the six place here three times. Oh, powdered his thin what? This is THIN, isn't it? Stuff, Not THIN, is it? Thin means very slender, stuff. Thin, make of thin, maybe. Make of thin, yeah, correct, good. Yeah. The Mandarin word is make of thin, sorry. Thin stuff into the ground and stood there as if angry. That's why the six patriarch politely asked, how do you get here and why are you so obnoxious? One who has left home has perfected the 3,000 awesome deportation and the 80,000 fine practices. And yet you didn't even bow to me. Oh, no wonder. He say he's arrogant. There are 250 deportations for each of the four postures. Standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. This 1,000 deportment should be deportation. Multiplied by the past, present, and future makes 3,000. There are actually 84,000 fine practices, although the text here gives the number as 80,000. So, Xuan Jue said, I act this way because birth and death is a serious matter, and I never know when the ghost of impermanence will pay his inevitable call. It all happened very fast, you know. What Xuan Jue actually meant was, I am trying to end birth and death, and I had no time for good manners. Besides, I have put that sort of thing down. Then why don't you think of a way to embody and comprehend that which is not produced, and to understand what is not quick? Said the master. You should be clear about the principle of non-production and quickness. The body itself is not produced, said Xuan Jue. And fundamentally, the understanding is without quickness. That is, if I clearly understand birth and death, then there is no birth and death. And if I maintain that clear understanding, then in fact there is no quickness. Why then should I fear the ghost of impermanence? Seeing that he understands the six patriarch. Seeing that he understood, the six patriarch certified him, saying, right, good work. It's just as you said. So this part, I think, is just the way they go about exchanging their understanding dialogue. But the six patriarch actually wanted him to go beyond what his habitual tendency thinking is trying to teach him. Because even after you have this awakening or enlightenment, before it's stabilized, your habitual thinking, your habitual thought process, they still have questions for the former mind, because it looks very funny, because the truth is opposite of what the mundane way was. Then they will have this type of thought coming back. It's just like what Song used to go through. He said, Brother Teo, 为什么会这样? Because you are still using the thought. So it's just exactly here. He gave a hint to this Xuan Jue. He said, after Xuan Jue told him the urgency of going beyond birth and death. So that's why he got no time for normal courtesy or manner. Then besides, he said, I have put that sort of thing down. So he wants to develop the urgency and the understanding. Then the sixth patriarch said, why don't you find a way to embody and comprehend that which is not produced, and to understand what is not quick? So this part is a hint. Comprehend that which is not produced. But you will come to realize, even in all this Dhamma, you call it what? Exchanges or communication. They didn't really go into the deep explanation of this form and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why he teach him to look at, I write here, that which is not produced. Oh, thank you. Who brought this new pen? Oh, Sadhu. Pamasuri. Oh, you put in a refill. Very good. Thank you. This is a lot better. We are just now, I don't want to use words because it is not clear, the black color. That which is not produced. So this part is very important. Then no need to be quick or slow. So this part, why don't you find a way to embody and comprehend that which is not produced, and to understand what is not quick? This is the part they fail to understand. Here, produce means it doesn't come about. Means everything within the conditioned world, they are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why they are being produced. You understand? Yeah? So, when he said that which is not produced, what is Hui Ning referring to? He is hinting to this monk, Xuan Jue. He said, you should contemplate and find out that which is not produced. He is pointing towards what? Yeah, the true mind. Because this one is the unconditioned, no condition behind. So when it is not produced, then why do you worry about your form and mind as birth and death? Do you understand? That's why even he, after he awakened to the true mind ground, he will still have this thought, like what Song earlier on used to go to. The thought will still say, if I don't make it this round, then this so-called form and mind will have to come back. That's why it's a matter of urgency and all those things. And this thought cannot understand what he realized, because the part that is being realized, like Yingbi said, is Bu Sen Bu Mie, is completely the opposite of the conditioned world, which is not produced. Not until Hui Ning hinted this to him, he still cannot have the stability to explain this to people. He knew he already gone beyond, but he cannot put it into words because he don't have the stability of understanding. And just now what I'm trying to tell you is, they never explain in the sutta thus far, despite all the various beautiful exchanges regarding this five aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to cultivate, to develop the understanding. And this one is the one, when you silence this mind, it will connect to that true mind, the nature, the mind ground. And that one is unproduced. Where it was never born. It's that nature. When the mundane mind sees, it will realize that. And this one was never taught and never described. But the enlightened being, they know. Yeah. So this part is the most important. That's why this is for you to come. This is a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned. So this one is karmically conditioned. Condition. Then this one is your true nature. Your true nature. So when you understand this, you will know who you are, what you are, and how all these things come about. So after he pointed out this to the monk, Xuan Xue, he said, why not you contemplate that which is not produced? Then straight away he understood. That's why he knew. We read through, you will understand. That's why you look at the second last paragraph before the commentary finish. The body itself is means he think that this is the one that is giving him problem. So he said the body itself is not produced, says Xuan Xue. And fundamentally, the understanding is without quickness. That is, if I clearly understand birth and death, means this birth and death refer to what? The five aggregate of form and mind, not his true nature. Then there is no birth and death. Understand? Because there is a condition arising aspect within the condition world. It's not him. And if I maintain that clear understanding, then in fact, there is no quickness. Why then should I fear the ghost of impermanent? Understand? So he straight away got the understanding. Means he had expressed it out already. Last time he cannot know. He knew the thing inside is unborn. But he don't know how to correlate now. Because he still think this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being, this one is like real. Because human being, the thought, is identified with this five aggregate of form and mind. So he said, if he don't see the urgency, he may end up being called by the ghost of impermanence. Means come back for birth again. So Hui Ning knew. Just like Hui Ning just point out to the right direction. He said, you need to reflect and contemplate on this, that which is not produced. So when you meditate, especially this year's retreat, I'm going to teach you more on how to silence your mind and develop the true mind, the silent mind, the awakening. You need to stabilize that one until very clear, until you can realize this very clearly. That this nature is nothing. Cannot come out to live like no word, nothing. But from there, the thought come out very fast. The five aggregate of form and mind. Because it's very near. When the brain completely ceases, no more activity, then that nature is there. And this nature, no word one. You cannot describe, you cannot use word, you cannot talk about it. It cannot even come out and live life. That's why it's not a being. And it's not you. That's why that one is also anatta, the unconditioned. So when you truly experience this in the silent mind state that you can go through, even a moment of cessation, you already gone through the sainthood stages. Then if the condition is there, you are ready, you will go into the cessation. You will realize Nibbana. And that one can be quite a while. But your nature will understand that you will know how to come out. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, because the life force that is already decided the moment you are born, it is not time for it to parinibbana. Then it will come back. It will come back. It just allows the form and mind to go through the cessation. You call it the bu sen bu mie. You will realize that cessation. Then after that, you cannot control when to come out, where there is no mind involved. But very funny, that nature will know. It will come out. You don't worry. Then there is also a lot of very interesting understanding after you go through this realization. Your whole form and mind will become very different. Then when you have that awakening to realize what that true mind is, that true nature is, your understanding of the teaching become completely different. Then after that, your cultivation become very different. Then the Dhamma keep on coming. Your form and mind keep on understanding. It will just unfold, unfold, unfold. That whatever you do in life, it will awaken you. It will stabilize your understanding. Because the moment you connect through and realize that, your nature actually awakened already. The wisdom is inside there already. But your form and mind still don't quite understand what this thing is. But it's still with the habitual tendency of thinking and way of understanding things. But when you encounter a situation, the form and mind will know what to do. And there is no fear, nothing. It will know what the thing is. But when you ask him to explain, he cannot. He don't have the stability of wisdom yet. It takes a while. They have to go through a period. Then as they go through, as they go into life, they will understand more and more and more and more. Then if they meet up with those who have already done all this before, they will be able to explain to them what this thing is. Then they will develop understanding very fast, very fast. And their cultivation will be very different too. Then there is no more doubt. So this is the part that I just want to add in so that we can develop the understanding. Then we continue. Okay, page 319. Xuanjue then make obeisance with perfect awesome deportment. This time he different already. He don't march around and do all this funny thing already. A short while later he announced that he was leaving. And the master said, "Are you leaving too quickly?" He replied, "Fundamentally, I don't move." See? With the understanding, he speak differently. He speak from true understanding. It's no more the habitual tendency type of mundane mind there speaking. "How can I be quick?" The master said, "Who knows? You don't move." The master, Miss Hui Ning, very wise there. He said, in this place where you are speaking, very few people can understand what you say. He said, that's why he said, "Who knows you did move?" He replied, "Kind sir, you yourself make this discrimination." See, now he can pok choy already. The master said, "You have truly got the idea of non-production. But does non-production possess an idea?" So, ask Xuanjue, "If it is without idea, then who discriminate it?" said the master. That's why this one is to deepen his understanding. What discriminate is not an idea either. he replied. The master exclaimed, "Good indeed. Please stay for a night." That's why he invited him to stay. During his time, he was called the enlightened one overnight. So fast. The one enlightened overnight. Means the fastest one. And later he wrote the song of certifying to the way, which circulated widely in the world. His posthumous title is Great Master Wu Xiang. Wu Xiang or Wu Xiang. And during his lifetime, he was called Zhen Jue. Wow, means the true enlightenment, true awakening, Zhen Jue. The master said, Xuan Jue carried on some repartee. Your eloquence indicates that you have truly understood the idea of non-production, said the master. How can non-production have an idea? Xuan Jue replied. Without idea, who could discriminate it? Said the master. Xuan Jue said, although there is discrimination, it is not done on the basis of the mind's idea. It is not the intellect engaging in intellection, which discriminate. Rather, it is the Buddha's wonderful observing wisdom which has no need to resort to the process of reasoning, and which yet knows everything. Therefore, what discriminate is not an idea either. You are absolutely right, said the master. Xuan Jue stayed one night at Nanhua Temple and became enlightened. So everyone called him the one enlightened overnight. Later on, he wrote the song of certifying to the way, which I'm sure you all know. So here the poem is written. So we'll read through. It begins by saying, have you not seen the man of the way who has cut off learning and is in leisure does nothing? Who does not reflect false thinking or who does not reject false thinking or seek reality? For him, the real nature of ignorance is the Buddha nature, and the empty body of illusion is the Dhamma body. So this poem is very, very deep, very beautiful. Then after he died, the emperor gave him the title. How to pronounce this word? Wu Xiang. Yeah, la, Wu Xiang, without mark. Yeah. Without mark, I think it's Wu Xiang. And his contemporary called him Zhen Jue, means Zhen Jue means the right enlightenment, the true right enlightenment. So this chapter is very interesting. Okay, now exactly 4:30. Oh, good. So we can still have one more session for meditation. Any question? Do you have any question? Do you have any question? Maybe I will take you all through the poem that he wrote so that you understand. Okay, I get Ng B to read. Pass the mic to the English one. English one. It's on your book. On your book. Here. Second last paragraph.
Have you not seen the man of the way?
Yes.
Who has cut off learning and in leisure does nothing?
Stop there. Okay. So the question is, have you not seen the man of the way? Who has cut off learning and in leisure does nothing? This meaning is very profound. Do you know the meaning or not? The enlightened being is like that. So here the poem say, have you not seen the man of the way? Means referring to Hui Ning. So what did Hui Ning do? That's why the Buddha used the same word, no? Asika, beyond learning, beyond study. You understand? That's why he say, who has cut off learning? He no need to learn already. You understand? Then, in his leisure, what does he do? Why did he does nothing? You think he got nothing to do? Every day he do so much thing. No? Then why does he say he does nothing? He does nothing because he echoed and flow. Understand? No? Condition like that, the form and mind echoed and flow. That's why the nature does nothing. That's why he able to tell the monk, Xuan Xue, he say, your going is no going, understand? Because the nature inside there didn't go anywhere, understand? It's only your thought, your form and mind go. So this part is very beautiful. Who has cut off learning means beyond study. That's why they don't learn anymore. Then they don't do anymore. This one is not easy. It's the total opposite of what living being do. Then read on, Amy.
Who does not reject false thinking or seek reality?
If you reject false thinking and seek reality, means you are like sensu. Understand? Or? Do you understand? Your duality is still there. But you don't want defilement. That's why you reject all the heedless thinking, the defilement. Then you are like sensual. But the enlightened one doesn't do that, you see. The enlightened one does not reject false thinking and seek reality. Because reality was already there. You understand? When you understand and see things as they are, without stirring, without doing anything, echoed and flow, that is the reality. And the reality is, condition like that, things will like that. So no need to seek anything, no need to reject anything, no need to do anything. That's why this particular verse is very good. So when you don't reject false thinking and you don't seek reality, it means you are with your true nature. You already awakened, understand? That's why all this seeking. Rejecting the defilement, do all those funny thought-based meditation, put in a lot of effort and all those things. Means you don't understand, you are still searching, looking for enlightenment, still want to purify. The real purification is the awakening, the wisdom. There is nothing for you to purify. The nature is already perfect, unborn. Is for you to realize. The moment you realize means this mundane mind is not real. Condition arising. The five real form and mind are not real. The moment you understand that, just like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in the Heart Sutta, 照见五蕴皆空, where he illuminated the five skandhas and realized that they were all empty. Not real. What happened? She became enlightened. That's why she crossed over and completely free. So the real wisdom free you. No need to do anything. The moment you understand that these are not real, you will not be deceived by the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the phenomenal world, the conditioned world. So the moment this understanding is there, the mind liberate, free. Then the true nature will be realized and seen. But it was there all the time. So that's why this poem is very beautiful, is it? Then it will continue.
For him, the real nature of ignorance is the Buddha nature.
So the Buddha nature is the one that is beyond everything. It's the unconditioned. So the real nature of ignorance is when you cling to this Buddha nature, you want to realize this Buddha nature, the one thing will stop you from realizing it. Because this is not something for you to seek. The moment you understand and you let the mind cease, the mundane mind cease, then the oneness nature, that true nature, they will just arise. And that one is not a being, not a mind. That's why that is the unconditioned. So for him, the real nature of ignorance is this Buddha nature. Then the last one.
And the empty body of illusion is the Dhamma body.
See? So this empty body of illusion is very important. Because it's empty, that's why it's not real. That's why it's an illusion. So it's an empty body of illusion. That is that so-called Dhamma body. So this Dhamma body, like what the Buddha said, after you cross over to the other shore, you don't hold on to the raft or the Dhamma anymore. Understand? So this Dhamma body that manifests the teaching, like the Buddha has three bodies. First is the physical body, or what he called the functional body, Nimanakaya, where he used 2,600 over years ago, karmically conditional. Then he has a spiritual body, the perfection of all his cultivation, wisdom and virtue. Then underneath the Bodhi tree, when he becomes fully enlightened, he connect and he, you call, inherit everything. So this spiritual body is his perfection of wisdom and virtue. Combined with this Nimanakaya, which is a functional body, it animates into Dhammakaya. That's why it teaches the Dhamma. They call it the Dhamma body. So this Dhamma body is actually also empty. So empty body of illusion is the Dhamma body. So people cling onto the Dhammakaya. They think with the Dhammakaya, I have the Dhamma. No. Because you come to the conditioned world. You need a vehicle. Understand? That's why the Nimanakaya. Then you need the perfection. If you don't have the perfection of Sammasambuddhahood, the 10 perfection, you got nothing to inherit. Understand? So the Dhamma body cannot come about. The third body, which is the Dhammakaya, cannot come about. So living beings who don't have the understanding, they will cling. So this part is very beautiful. Okay, so at least we cover that chapter. Then next one is 322. We will leave it for next week. Next week, we will have another class. Next week is 13, is it? Or 14. 14. 14. Then 21st, there's another one. Yeah, I'll be away on the 28th. I going down to Singapore. So the 28th, end of January, class will be cancelled. Okay. Now maybe you all can off the light, then have your meditation. You can meditate for half an hour. I think just nice. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. And we can continue with our meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask whatever question relating to meditation or the teaching and how to apply this teaching to help you solve whatever life problem or situation. Okay, we will open up. You raise your hand. You want to report your meditation. Anybody? Pass the mic to Mimi. Sister Mindy, thank you.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
I went to the retreat last year, December. Okay. One of my experience is I found out that I do not try to reject or look for anything. I just accept whatever happened, and then when the mind at first it was on the third or fourth day, then when the mind realized that it's using the mundane mind, then suddenly it go into deep. Go deep, and then it's going through some bliss state, and then the following day, relax, and then during one of the sitting meditation, you realize that when you just accept whatever happened, and I think the mind is contemplate that for example we have done some cleaning jobs, and then the body is a bit sweating, and then when I found out that the mind some of the meditators they went for a shower, and then I just contemplate why I can't accept the body is sweating. So when it realized that the mind is rejecting, then it's it's getting stable, and then it saw the but it just saw the whatever happened, and it has some realization about the a little bit of suffering, and then the impermanence, and it saw that so in that state, is that the mind is also trying to contemplate, or is that getting stable?
It depends, because I need to ask you some question before that. How many days was the retreat?
The retreat was for 7 days.
7 days. So the first 2 days, what did they ask you to do?
It's more on
your daily activities.
Yes.
For
example, in the morning, we will wake up early, about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then we will do a 1 hour sitting.
Okay.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We can do walking. We can just do exercise.
Yeah.
And then after that, we will go for breakfast. And then after breakfast, we will do cleaning jobs.
Okay.
Cleaning jobs depends on whether you're cleaning the rooms or plates.
Yeah.
And then after that, we will have 1.5 hour. We can do sitting or we can do walking. It depends on us.
Yeah.
Then we will go for lunch. And then after that, we can take rest. And then before that, in the morning session, we will have 1 hour dharma talk.
Okay. Yeah.
So after lunch, we'll take rest, and then after that, we'll do about 1 to 2 hours sitting, walking, whatever we want. And after that, we'll have dharma talk and Q&A again. Then we will take rest, and then at night, we will listen to dharma talk again.
Okay. Any chanting?
Chanting, just a little bit. When
puja?
When
puja, another thing?
Puja, yes.
Okay. Then on the third day, you mentioned something happened. How did it happen?
It's not really happen. It's just some understanding and realization.
Yeah, you know, you can describe what actually happened.
Okay. Actually, I'm trying to do walking meditation.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
I think I put a little bit effort and walk. And then yeah. after a few days, I realized that, what am I doing? So yeah. when
yeah, the question is very good. What are you doing?
When you understand that the mind is trying to do walking meditation, then it's suddenly like,
yeah.
Yeah, settle down.
So you have to slowly go into all this to understand what are you doing. Then in the name of meditation, do you really understand? When you understand, all these questions will cease. But when you don't understand, you will go through all those activities. Then suddenly your mind will come back. Then you will realize, hey, what am I doing? So meditation, even you go for retreat or what, you have to understand the purpose. Why are you there? And when you go for that retreat, you have to understand clearly what are your objectives. Yeah. Otherwise, like most people, they go there, they just follow instruction, then they just do without much understanding. So in that sense, it will not help you. But for you to really benefit, you must really have your own understanding based on what we have learned over the maybe months or years of sharing. By now, if you have gone through the Heart Sutra note, you would have understood what meditation is all about and how you can develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to be aware. So that this meditation can progress. And the understanding part will allow you to fit into whatever retreat, no matter what type of schedule, what type of method, technique, is not important. As long as you understand what you are doing down there and you know the Buddha's teaching and your purpose when you are there, these are more important. What you have described is quite natural and quite normal, because based on what you say, I think you are not so clear as to what you are there for. So your mind still has this, what they call, curiosity from the past, to know, to understand. But you can recall, I always say, when you meditate, don't try to know. What is it that you have to develop when you meditate? The most important mind state that you need to develop. What is it?
Yeah. You mean during the meditation?
No. Whole day, throughout the day. Whether meditation or out of meditation, what is it that you have to develop to help you meditate?
To be mindful.
Yeah, to be mindful. So are you doing that?
Yes, but I mean.
But how you do? How you do is very important. How you do the training or how you maintain the mindfulness is very important.
It will be more on kaya.
Kaya is good, but you must know what that kaya is. Body and mind as one. So, four posture is one of the things. Are you doing the four posture?
The movement of my body. Yes.
You must maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you don't try to know. Don't even try to entertain the thought or whatever. Just relax, silent, and maintain that cultivation. You need to bow, you bow. You need to walk, you walk. You need to rest, you rest. When you lie down, everything you do, mindful, all activity. If you can maintain the mindfulness, then when you sit, you realize the mind settles down very fast. It sits by itself. No need method, no need technique, it's just silent. Because your spiritual faculty, your sati is already there. Then before that, if you have developed the faith on the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, means the Triple Gem, or any of the great beings that you have affinity with, When you pay respect, develop the faith and do it mindfully. Then how you bow, how you come out of it, how you move, how when you approach situation or see people, you see what are you doing. That form and mind, the reaction and all, you're supposed to be observant, means aware, mindful, that's it. No need to know anything. No need to bring in the knowledge what you do, forget about it. When you are mindful, you just develop that mindfulness. Then when all this stabilized and silent, until you become completely aware, your mind state is different. During that time, your form and mind will understand what sati is. Because when you are in sati, the form and mind will know. Then when you are in sati, it can see many things. Your mental intention, your awareness, your movement, everything will move as one. Then like you got very little thought, you are very quiet most of the time. Then you seldom talk unless there is a situation that demands you to speak. But when you speak, you will be very mindful of things too. So all these are the training. Then sitting is just a formal meditation to allow you to train your mind better so that your mindfulness can be in a more stable state. That's why maintenance of this mindfulness in the sitting posture is very important. You just relax, silent everything, and let things be. Whatever arises, the thought, let it arise. You just maintain awareness. After a while, the thought will slow down, will cease by itself. When you don't resist, don't fight, it will slow down. So all this, you must have the understanding, the right view, to accept them for what they are. Well, this is a form of mind. Condition arising, dependent originating. If you don't have the wisdom, the spiritual faculty, it will think. It will arise the heedless thinking. It will arise the mental hindrance. So when you understand, accept them. When they arrive, let it be. Then be with it. Even sleepiness, be with it. Don't try to resist, or don't try to fight that mental hindrance. No need. Just let it be. Then when you can accord and flow and allow things to be, your mind naturally will settle down. It will not want to do anything because you can come to terms with the reality of the moment. You can be at peace anywhere, anytime, any place. So whatever you do, you feel very light, very peaceful. You are just aware. Then in the retreat, you don't do much thing. Then when you are free, you can also walk outside, stand somewhere, do your contemplation and reflection. Then when you do your washing, cleaning, or whatever activity they ask you to do, just like just now, cleaning, they got this Nanhua temple, 1 or 2 hours on the mountain. So you're supposed to do your activity. Then like you mentioned, you realize you sweat. People go and take bath and all those things. That is a very good contemplation. Then you just maintain awareness. What is the thing that conditions you to want to go and take a bath? Then like you inquire, why can't I allow the sweat to be? If I allow it to be, what happened? Then you will develop understanding. Because you have to find out. You cannot just listen to what I say, then, oh, brother, you say like that. Then you follow my word. It will not help you. Find out means, like what you went through, you just allow it to be. Okay. All these people, they feel that they must clean up because you have sweat. Especially if your activity is quite tedious, and it lead to quite a bit of sweating. Then your body being a body, you will not feel comfortable when you have all those sweat and all those things. Especially you are somebody who are quite conditioned into like wanting to clean up yourself very often. But if you are not of that character, then you will know normal sweat is okay, you can endure. Like for myself, even here, because no aircon, You can feel actually sweating inside, sweating. But then, off it. But then, if it's a condition that you understand, then no problem. You need to endure, you need to endure. And if I feel that it's affecting my health, that I need a bath so that I stay fresh, I will go back and take a bath. That's it. But if I don't need to, if I can endure, I will endure. And most of the time, because we are nowadays driving around, and when we enter our car, we have air con and all those things. So we don't feel that afflicted. But the mind is different. The mind will understand all this. So what you need to do is, you just have to find out, if I don't listen to the thought, what I want you to inquire is just now, when you are silent, then you find out, why the thought conditioned me to go and wash up? And then the answer will come. Then you check, is it something that the form and mind can endure? If it can endure, I don't have to listen to the thought. I can continue to do my work. Until I find that not much time left, because the next session, the next activity may be coming soon. Even at our retreat, you got only about 15 or 20 minutes to do the cleaning up. So you will have all this, what they call understanding, that if you need to stop, you stop. If you need to rush up a bit and finish off, then mindfully go back to your room. And you need to take a bath, wash yourself, then mindfully come out and return back to the meditation hall or the place where you're supposed to meditate. Because the teaching is, every posture, every moment, every instant, in whatever place you can meditate, the domain of meditation is independent of your posture. You can maintain mindfulness anytime. So meditation can be done even when you are taking bath. So you no need to hurry. Even if you miss the lesson, first 5-10 minutes, so be it. Because you understand. But if let's say you got certain duty, you are in charge of chanting, or you are in charge of maybe certain thing before the session start, the cleaning of the meditation hall, then this is your duty, which you cannot neglect. Then unless you are sick, unless you have situation or problem, you should try your best to fulfill them, to attend. Otherwise, you should inform whoever who can help you relay the message, I don't feel good, I need to rest. So please convey the message to whoever in charge, the committee member or what. Then they will know, they will assign different people. Then they will also make a point to let me know. Then we will get people to monitor you or help you. So this is what you will do. You will just accord and flow. You will know what is important and what is not important. Then mindfulness become very easy. Meditation become very easy. It's no more like what you describe. The thing is still on, not completely off. Yes. Because of the zzz sound. Thank you. So these are the understanding that you must have. That if you endure it, let's say you have time, you are not restricted by time constraint, then you can find out, if I allow the sweat to be, if I just silent, then you find out, this is meditating on the tactile consciousness. You understand? Tactile consciousness means whatever tactile feeling, or the conscious of this tactile feeling that arises at your body. The whole of your body is capable of giving you tactile response. Because all this part that has sweat, that you can feel the whatever contact with nature, whether weather or itchiness, numbness, or sometimes you feel very good. These are tactile feelings that arise. Then sometimes rheumatism or whatever. Something that has to do with your tactile body surface. So upon contact, consciousness will arise. So when they arise, it will condition you to do things. When you understand all this, then you realize you have a choice. Your form and mind will have a choice. You can decide whether to follow the conditioning from the thought or just to ignore it. And the cultivation of mindfulness initially is always like that. You talk to the mundane mind. Now I decide. You don't decide. Even if I want to go to the toilet, answer nature's call, I will not be like last time, panic, heedless, very kanchong. Then how you move, how you go also, there is no awareness at all. You just hurry and do all those things without mindfulness. But now, when you take over, your mindfulness decides. And even during emergency hour, you are mindful as you move. Then you will come to realize when you are mindful, a lot of things is different already. Because you have the calm state of mind, the understanding, and the mindfulness can allow you to endure until you are there. Then sometimes when you are there, you have to queue up because toilet is not available. You will also know how to relax, silent, and endure. But really, you got emergency, you can't endure anymore. Then you need to talk to people. You don't mind letting me use first. It's really emergency. I can't wait. People will understand. They will let you use. But most of the time, you don't face such situation. When you have anticipated many things before it happened, you will usually go. Then for my case, because I have to deliver the sharing and all those things. So unless really the bladder condition is such that I need to go, that's why I will tell you, I need to go to the washroom. Then I go. But if I can endure, I will endure. Then when it reach, more or less, I know already the limit is going to be there. Then I will excuse myself. I say, okay, I need to go to the washroom. Then I go. Even before I go, my mind is aware. The main thing is about understanding how you function as a human being, the dependent origination to the condition. So all this you can only understand when your mind is silent, no other way. When you are using thinking, the rational mind, the mundane mind, you are not observing. When you are observing, you are silent. That's why the real observation is mindfulness. When you just observe what arises, how things arise, and how things pass away, means you become a silent observer. Means you don't respond, you don't react, you just want to understand. Like you observe a kid, what a kid is doing. You just observe. And then you learn many things. You will know how the kid behaves, why he become like that. Then sometimes you will also see the folly of that kid, then the joy and all those things. Then this is understanding. But if you are not observing, what you do is you preconceive the baby or the kid as the way he is. This fellow very naughty, or he will do this, he will do. You are not observing him anymore. Well, this is based on your views and opinion on what the kid is. It's like when you see somebody you don't like. You are not observing him already. You already inside here, not happy. Then whatever he say, you just want to react and retaliate. Or you chatter inside there. So the chattering mind, the what they call mundane mind, when you don't have the mindfulness, the awareness, the ability to see clearly, it will become heedless. It will just react and do all those things. And it becomes habitual. That's the reason why heedless people cannot develop wisdom, cannot understand things. So you go for retreat, you go for meditation, or even at home and you meditate. It's the same. Understand what are you there for? What must you do? So the most important two aspects of meditation is ask yourself, are your spiritual faculty developed? If not developed, the mental hindrance will be there. Do you ask yourself that one? You ask yourself that one, then the next thing is to observe and find out whether the spiritual faculty is there or not. Because mental faculty or spiritual faculty are very important. They allow you to understand spiritual teaching. They allow you to have the ability to overcome mental hindrance. So if they are not there, you need to train, you train. You need to chant, you need to recite, you need to recollect the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. You recollect, build up the faith, the calmness, the sadda, the calm and composed mind. So this faith will maintain that mind state so that you will not have what they call doubt. You will not be restless. You will not have those mental negativity that will grab you when you don't have faith. Then when you have faith, it will drive you. Well, when you reflect and contemplate who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is, you will know how to cultivate. You will arise the virya where you see the importance. Then when the virya is there, it will push you. Then you will cultivate mindfulness. So the whole of meditation is to remind yourself that, are you mindful? Are you aware? Are you with the moment? Are you meditating? If you cannot meditate and cannot have the awareness and the mindfulness, it's because the mental hindrances are there. You are hardly aware. You are hardly mindful. So you start to train. And how to train? We already taught you. If in the retreat they got certain method and technique that can let you understand and develop the same thing, then use it, try it out, no harm. But if they don't have, then you recall to what you have studied. If I need to train this mind, what must I do? What must you do? Yeah? If you need to train the mind, let's say the mental hindrances are there, what must you do? Yeah? Yes.
To develop the spiritual faculties.
Yes. So how do you do it? You have to be clear. So slowly, you will have to put what you have learned into practice. So spiritual faculty is one aspect. Just now I already described. You reflect, contemplate on the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, then develop them. Then do the bowing with the faith. Then all this, they will develop. But let's say you want to meditate. Well, their schedule is you have to meditate. Formal meditation. Like you say, they say you can do any formal meditation. Sitting, I don't know whether they allow you to do lying down or walking or whatever. So, if you still have the mental hindrance, your spiritual faculty are not there, when you sit, you will know. Well, the thought will arise, the heedlessness will arise, the mental hindrance will arise. You will feel sleepy and all those things, and then you are not relaxed, you are tired, and the thought keep on arising. Restlessness, sloth and torpor, sensual desire, like and dislike. Then you feel your bodily posture like forced into a posture, then the pain, the numbness, the itchiness, all they will come and haunt you, disturb. So when you see all this, means your mental hindrances are still active. So when your mental hindrances are active, what must you do? That is very important. Yeah, your answer. Try to answer.
I will be relaxed. I try to relax my body and my mind. Then
yeah.
I should be able to settle down.
That is also one of the way you relax into it. Because whatever happens, don't resist, don't fight, don't force. Just relax into it and allow it to be. Then maintain silent awareness. Then find out what happened. But let's say you try to maintain silent. Then after a while you realize that you are not peaceful. The heedless thinking still arise. The hindrance still arise. Then what must you do? What must you do? Because when you do the one that you mentioned, you must have understanding. You have understanding, you will be patient, understand or not? You just continue to relax and silent. That is what meditation is all about. The third way that the Buddha taught, just relax and silent. That is the meditation. Don't do anything. Everything will slow down, silent, and go back to the original state. That's how the blockade analogy is. when Ananda was told to collect water for the Buddha, he realized every time something crossed the pond or pool of water, the water is not clean. The mud, the sediment all come out. It's like your mind every time stir, react because of mental hindrance. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, the mind react and stir. That's why the mind cannot be quiet, cannot be peaceful. So this stirring of the mind are your sankhara, your mental activity, are your mental hindrance, restlessness. So it cannot be peaceful. But let's say you don't stir, you don't react, like the block cut don't go over and disturb the pool of water. Over time, all this sediment will settle down. Because the original state of mind is stillness, silent, without thought. So the mind will go back to its true original state. Then when you realize that, you will know what the silent mind is. You will know what meditation is. They're very easy. But most people don't understand. When that mental hindrance keep on coming, they tell themselves this is no good, bad meditation. Then they try to do something to force the thinking to stop. That's why they are told to focus, concentrate. And these are all thought-based meditation. Not to say you cannot do, you can do and find out. You become calm and peaceful because of a conditioned state. You can experience them, but it is not going to last. Because this one is a forced state, a conditioned state that you force your mind not to think. It's not through wisdom and understanding. It's not through the spiritual faculty. Yeah. So if you still want to meditate despite what happened, then you can. Like I say, you train the mind. You train the mind through the mind sweeping method. Instead of thinking, you just feel relaxed. Feel relaxed. You have to go through it, sweep through the whole day. Then you find that you become more calm and more peaceful. And this is how you decondition your heedless thinking. Because all the heedless thinking born of mental hindrance, they will stop when you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. It's like a reversal of the heedless way of living life. So instead of thinking, reacting, stirring, and creating all this mental activity, you just feel. Then relax into it. Feel, relax into it. So you do that, it will bring about the inner peace, inner calmness. Then you combine with loving kindness, metta, it will bring about inner well-being and make you good. You feel calm, peaceful, and good. And that is what the initial mind state of sati is. When you are calm, quiet, and peaceful with well-being, you can meditate because you can maintain awareness. But the problem is, when you got nothing to do, when you stop the mind-sweeping method, you are not peaceful. The mental hindrance will come back. So you need to stabilize it. So to stabilize it, you can use whatever object of meditation that you have. You can maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati, or chanting, or bowing, or walking. Means kayanupasana. So you do all this to stabilize your mindfulness. When your mindfulness is stabilized, then the mind will reach a very quiet state. The final state is pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then you can, the best is at that time, you must do formal meditation, either lie down or sit. Then just relax and silent and let things be. Lying down is easy because it does not strain your leg. Because at your age, not easy to cross for too long. Don't try to be a hero. Even if you can, just understand it, experience it. Because your leg need to be in a state of relax. The chi need to flow. Otherwise, when you are locked into a cross-legged position, unless you know how to relax during meditation, it will give you a problem. Sometimes it will become very painful, a lot of numbness. But if you already know how to meditate, know how to relax, then you can sit for quite a while. Then if you want to endure longer, you can. But if you understand what is meditation, you will see the lack of benefit in sitting too long. But it's not how long you sit that make you good in meditation is how relaxed are you, how mindful are you, how aware are you. So the lying down posture is the most relaxed state where you don't cross your leg. There is no chi blockage anywhere. You just relax, silent, and all everything just flow. Then you maintain mindfulness. That's why lying down is the easiest. But the danger is people don't understand, they fall asleep. And they cannot meditate because they are not associated with lying down. To them, lie down means sleep. But when you understand, the best posture is lying down. But initially when you start, you need to cross your leg. You cross your leg, especially when you are young. Try it out. Find out so that you understand. Then when you are meditating, you just relax, aware, silent. Like you say, relax and maintain silence and let things be. So all this mind state, they will settle down. If you are patient enough, maybe after about 30 minutes, then you start to get into the meditative state. Because when the mind quiet, there's a shift of consciousness where you can realize or you can come to be aware of. All of a sudden, all this thinking, like suddenly stop one. Then you realize you are very quiet. So that one, a lot of people who force themselves to sit, they will stumble into it. They will unknowingly suddenly realize that, which is very good. Because during the early day, nobody taught me. I don't know all these things. Then I just sit. But when I sit, I know how to relax. Then I know how to develop the anapanasati very naturally. So initially, I was absorbed into the anapanasati. But later on, when I met the teacher that taught me how to relax into it and silent everything, then I realized if I do that and relax, the anapanasati doesn't build up. Doesn't build up, then I maintain the awareness, the mindfulness. Then all of a sudden, I realized my mind become very quiet, very calm. There's a shift of consciousness. Then I realize it's quiet still. Then when it's quiet and still, this mind, which is always trying to find out, they will start to stir again. But for my case, because from the past I cultivate before, I didn't do anything. I just relax into it and silent. And then I went through that stage that I used to tell you all. The mind suddenly becomes so quiet until the breathing, everything becomes like very quiet, very still. Initially, the breathing was long, full of this awareness. Then one breath, like very clear, a lot of clarity. So during that time, I developed a lot of PT, sukha. Then later on, I realized what I need was relax into all those mind states. So as I relax, the anapanasati slow down, until no more movement. Until the breathing become like very subtle, like no more movement. Then everything become very still. No movement. Then I never do anything. I never even want to believe those people say sitting, touching, go and make the mind active. That time my nature already knew the mind must be quiet. So I just relax into it and let it be. Then sometimes it will go into the unconscious because sometimes you doze off or you quiet. Then you tired, then the mind want to doze off. So during the early day, it doesn't have the understanding. So when it doze off, you try to maintain alertness. Then you try to meditate. Then I realize it come back. So this love and torpor is like unending. So sometimes I just say, hey, take a walk, go to the toilet, wash my face, then come back. You can meditate better. But then I realized this is not the way, because every time I got this problem, I got to go and do something. Then one day, I just silent everything and decide to do something different. Then what happened is, when the sloth and torpor come, I want to find out. If I stay with it, I don't do anything, I don't resist it, I don't do anything. I just stay with it, see what happens. That was the most beautiful. Well, that was just a 3-day, 2-night retreat over the weekend. They call it the 8 prison. My mind with the awareness together without resistance go in with the sloth and topper. as I do that, and this form of mind didn't resist, it just silenced everything. Then all of a sudden, instead of going into sleep, suddenly the mind shift. The shift in consciousness happens. There is a very bright light. The mind becomes very bright. Then there is a lot of energy, a lot of virya. Then all of a sudden, the awareness is aware. How come the sloth and torpor is gone? Completely gone. Then later on, when I come out of it, I reflected. Then I realized, when I don't resist, means I don't create like and dislike. Means I don't force myself to be awake. I don't force myself to be out of the sloth and torpor. Means I don't resist. I accept. The moment I accept, there is no like and dislike. There is no mental hindrance. That's why when I allow it to be, the mind went in. Then sati take over. When sati take over, the mental faculty come back. That's why sati created the shift in consciousness. Then after that, from that moment onward, I don't have those sloth and torpor anymore until today. I don't have anymore. Then the other one was pain. When I decide to endure and see through pain and relax into it and silence, all of a sudden it flashed through again the shift of consciousness. Then I understood what this is. Well, I was not relaxed. That time I don't know how to really relax. Well, the pain was really, really painful at that time. Especially after one or two days of continuous sitting. Then when I decide to see it through, I relax, silent, and be with it. Then all of a sudden it flashed through. Then from that day onward, I got no problem with all this so-called pain or numbness or whatever. It never developed also after that. Because this nature know how to relax into it. Just relax into it. Then it's gone. Relax into it. Then it's gone. Then meditation become like very easy. Then later on when I realize my spiritual faculty are there, I don't even need to do anything. No need to train, no need anapana. The moment I sit, the mindfulness is there. The silence, the stillness is there. Then in the midst of life also, there is no thought. Hardly any thought. It is mindful, aware. Then I realize the real meditation is not what people think. Not what people teach. And not what people say. That's how I have the condition to understand all this on my own. Then when I talk to all my various teachers, they actually didn't know about all this because they can't explain all this to me. But from my own past, this nature has the condition to understand all this so clearly. Then the Buddha's teaching become very clear to me. Even there are a few of my later teachers, they cannot relate all this to the teaching. They just tell me what they went through, and most of them are energy field, consciousness. Then the last one is, he also used awareness, but he used the awareness in the consciousness field, because he moved from the silent mind into the concentration, the consciousness field. And he liked to develop this type of consciousness. And that is not what the Buddha taught. What the Buddha taught is to develop the mindfulness, the awareness, to understand clearly who you are, what you are, the form and mind, and to develop the wisdom, to insight into phenomena. But that one is, they build up their what they call consciousness, and they propel it until it's so powerful. They reach the formless rhyme, arupa, jhana, and all those things. Then they move from there. To them, there are a lot of things up there. So they thought they will live for very long. After they die, their birth is guaranteed up there. They know. Then they know. They thought that is the ultimate. That is what those who do consciousness will end up in the formless rhyme. The normal thought-based meditation, energy field, they are within the four jhana. The four jhana means form jhana. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. They do a lot of psychic. But thought-based. But the one that go beyond, the fifth, sixth, seven, and eight, the last four, formless jhana, their mind state are different. Their consciousness also reach a very fine state. That's why it's called arupa consciousness, the formless consciousness, which are very fine, not so gross, very much more refined than the form jhana. The formless jhana are very fine mind state. Very different. The first one you experience is the infinite space. That one, the mind is very different than infinite consciousness. Then the consciousness where they go through the seventh one is the realm of nothingness. Like there is nothing inside there. Like everything is so still, so quiet. Nothing. Then the eighth jhana is the worst. It's like you neither perceive or non-perceive. It's like you don't exist at all. Neither perception or non-perception. So that state, they can stay there very, very long. For, according to the Buddha's 31 plane of existence, they say they can exist for 84,000 kappas. Kappas are world cycle. Not one or two, 84,000. You know how long or not? Many of you may not understand how long, because you never get to live so long. So these are the plane of existence that exists within the conditioned world. So when you understand, it's different. So for your case, I hope now you go back and make some note, revise through your Heart Sutra note, so that you recall. Because initially you progress quite well, quite far. But later on, you lost focus. I don't know what happened to you. Maybe you develop different meditation that people teach you. Your that type of retreat, what type of meditation they teach you?
It's on Citta Nupassana. So when the mind
What Vipassana?
Citta Nupassana.
Ayo. Okay. Citta Nupassana. So how they teach you? How do you do Citta Nupassana?
When the mind is running, just aware, that's it.
That is not Citta Nupassana. When the mind is running, just be aware. No, that is not Citta Nupassana. Citta Nupassana is mindfulness of the mental state. The consciousness, the mental state. When there is greed in your consciousness, the content of consciousness, you must be aware. Not just aware of your citta, your thought. No. When this citta has the consciousness content of greed or aversion or what they call emotion, jealousy of it, you must have the awareness to be aware. And this is deeper than feeling and all. Feeling is just general. Feeling means vedana nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling. Feeling, they only classify as three states: pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So most of it is pleasant, unpleasant. This is to develop the awareness that the mental hindrance has arisen, the like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant. But after you go beyond feeling, then you can go into the content of consciousness. Content of consciousness means the mental intention has moved. But it's not just like and dislike. It has developed into certain mental states. That's why when you feel peaceful, when your consciousness is spacious, you're supposed to be aware. When your consciousness shrinks and become a thought, you're supposed to be aware. And that is the real Citta Nupassana, mindful of the mental state, the content of consciousness. What is within the consciousness content? This is much deeper than feeling. Not just the surface, pleasant, unpleasant, or light and dislike. This is when you are aware, mindful, even in the midst of life. That's why when you have mindfulness, when you are sensitive, you cannot get into trouble. Because the moment the mind move, stir, or do anything, the content of consciousness initially is you go through the feeling phase, then the compassion, you become very sensitive. And the moment you are aware, it cannot develop anymore. But you will know these are evil roots. These are the stirring of the mind. This will start to condition you into negativity, where they are the root of all evil. So the moment you feel, you cannot even stress. It cannot stress you out anymore. Like you work until very tired and like it's affecting you, because you are sensitive, you are aware, you straight away will stop. You will know. If you continue to push your physical body, it will lead to suffering. It will lead to affliction. Then it will lead to deterioration of your health. So you need to rest. You will know how to rest. I don't know how they teach. If they tell you, just sit down there and aware and let it be, to me, that is not cittanupassana. But anyway, it's not important, because don't try to comment what people do, because they are just the way they are. If they understand it that way, they teach you that way. That's why you are not clear, then you go for this type of meditation, you can be influenced, then you become like confused. That's why you end up, you are reporting totally different from last time. Last time you just relaxed, silent, you experience. In the past, you have been doing energy field. So now you come out with, when you do this type, it's like there is nothing exciting. That's why you are drawn by word like vipassana and all those things, or cittanupassana. It's just the word. If you don't understand what you are doing, you go for all this, it will not benefit. It will create more confusion in you. Then you will start to like try new things. Then you will start to do different things. Then you lost focus. That's why you're completely very different from last time when you report to me early on. And your face is also different. You are not so peaceful, not so calm compared to the earlier moment. So what is important is you have to go through and review the teaching, the understanding, especially the what they call Satipatthana Sutta, the yellow book. The final summary of Satipatthana Sutta, we had it here. There's a yellow book, quite thick. You should read that one again to understand. Then the other one is the Heart Sutta. Go through the Heart Sutta again. Spend time to understand Pariyatti. Phase one means phase one of Dhamma is to study the teaching, to understand the teaching, means the learning of the Buddha Dhamma, the learning of the teaching. So get it understood clearly. What are the things that you're supposed to understand, and what are the things that you're supposed to do? Write it down. Then when you go for retreat, or you go through your daily routine, which is your meditative practice, you check all these things that you are doing, is it in accordance with what you have understood through your phase one Pariyatti cultivation? And then you will progress. When you understand, you cultivate according to that understanding, you will progress very fast. You need to train your mind, train your mind. You need to train your spiritual faculty, train. Then when the spiritual faculty is there, meditation becomes very easy. Then you know how to develop the third way, like just now you mentioned, relax and silent, and let things be. No need to go and note the thought, the thinking, the citta, or what, just let things be. That silent will understand. Because as you relax and silent, you will be aware of the heedless thinking, all those mind state, then your bodily tactile and whatever that create the light and desire. You will see them. But like the sweating incident, you just let it be. Then you find out, why must you be conditioned by the thought? Then you will develop the understanding that you have a choice. You decide, not what the thought tell you, not what the conditioning tell you. So this is straightening your view to understand. Then you realize the form and mind is just the form and mind. It's not you. Then they are like nature's law, physics law. Upon contact, the light bulb light up, you become conscious. But the mind that is aware understand all this. Then you will know that they are conditioned arising, dependent originating. Your physical body is only element. Then when you reflect on the five daily contemplation, you start to understand why the Buddha say this body of mine is of the nature to get old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Because this is element, cannot be you, go the way of nature. That's why then you understand, oh, no wonder the Buddha said, this is wisdom. When I know it go the way of nature, I can echo and flow. I will not react, I will not develop the fear and panic. I will not worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Well, this is the nature of physical body, go the way of nature. Experience old age, sickness and death when the condition is there. Not only me subject to this. Every living being also same. So when I have this understanding, I will not complain, I will not react. I endure. I do what I have to do. If I need to take care of this body, I take care of this body. That's it. Finish. Yeah. All this understanding will come. Then you will reflect. Oh, sorry. 6:12 already. I exceeded about 12 minutes of the time. I think we better end. I just summarize everything. Then the fourth contemplation, the fifth contemplation, you go back and read through. Develop all this understanding so that it becomes very clear. Then apply it. Then when you have all this understanding, your mind becomes different. It is wisdom that free. Always remember, not your doing in the meditation, in the retreat. Everything they teach you are method and technique. Skillful means to train your mind. But they didn't even know that it's skillful means to train the mind. They make you gullible. They say this is citta nupassana. Means you don't have to do kaya, you don't have to do vedana, you straight away go to mind. I have heard many people say this. But you have to understand. If you don't go through kaya, you can never get the mindfulness right. Then you cannot, technically you cannot do vedana and citta unless it's from your past. You don't believe, you go and find out yourself. The Satipatthana book, the yellow book that I share with you all, you read through, it's all written there. And how to cultivate the four foundation is all there. So you have to develop the clear understanding so that you will know how to do it. Okay. We better end. So we'll do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then you can pay your respect, make your aspiration, and we end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 3 hours or so. Then we will share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Chirang rakkantu loka sasana Itta wata ca amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati sidya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo otu Yavan nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one, then we end.
Press that.
Thank you.